Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
All right, well, today I have the good fortune to be interviewing Howard. Howard, first of all, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Howard Safer.
Safer, okay, just like it's spelled. All right, I didn't know if there was an accent on anything. And what inspired you to become a trust officer?
Well, really it goes back maybe about 5 decades at this point. I got into financial services as a CPA, got an MBA from Tulane, undergraduate from Vanderbilt, and so in working with families in the early part of my CPA career, it became apparent that it was important for them to know a lot about their businesses and to know about what was going on, but as much as anything, the business owners that would use the CPA, controller, treasurer type would have greater needs in the personal finance area because, that they really wanted a lot of help on. And as I worked for certain companies and then did 10 years as a partner in a large local or regional CPA firm, there were lots of people in that same category, and so we began to offer services that helped them decide how to handle their financial planning with as their wealth became liquid. They would sell their companies. They would know manufacturing or distribution or be a practicing physician and, might sell their practice and go into retirement and didn't really understand stocks and bonds and various alternative investments and such. So we migrated into helping them in those areas and found that in the area of taking care of money, in our mind, clearly the category of trust was the best category to provide those services. The first rung in that service area would be the registered reps, often called brokers, that work on a suitability standard for their clients, trying to do good for their clients, but also owing a duty to the companies they work for, so it's called a suitability standard. And many people then go, I'd call it a kind of a rung up the ladder or the triangle, and that would be to be an RIA, Registered Investment Advisor. And there, they are held to the fiduciary standard. That is, they're supposed to be on the same side of the table as the client. And to me, that appeared to be a better place to be. But as I came to know over time that they're report to the SEC if they're a larger type firm, and they get audited only maybe once every 10 years. And so eventually you discover that there's this top of the pyramid called trust officers and trust companies that have to have significant capital. They have to do what's right for the client all the time, the fiduciary standard. They get audited by local auditors and either state or national charter auditors on a much more frequent basis and multiple times, and they can be sued. There's no arbitration. They're absolutely responsible. And another way to come at it is if a judge gets a settlement for an orphan or a widow that doesn't have financial expertise, he'll look to only one of those three categories, and that's the trust officer to the trust company that has the significant assets and can be more likely to provide the services. You can't say that things won't fail, but it's much more likely to get a good result in that environment. And an antidote on that is just that if we recall when Lehman got in trouble in 08 and we had the beginnings of the Great Recession, if you had money with Lehman, you had some issues if you're a stockholder. If you were with Lehman's trust company, you had the benefits of being in that part of that operation. So I've come to be a trust officer and being a trust entity because it's best for the clients that we work with. And being a CPA, you know that your value is giving independent, objective, client useful information.
That's an incredible story. I mean, that's quite a journey you've been on, and it all makes total and complete sense, and you've just kept moving, for lack of a word, up the rung, keep going up the ladder to the highest way of serving the client. How would you define estate planning if a layperson asked you what it was?
Estate planning encompasses, of the maybe six categories you can have more or less of financial planning. Clearly, when you ask that question first, you would get that areas include income tax and risk management, the insurance area, protecting the downside. You'd get retirement planning. And the bulk of what's in the literature deals with the retirement planning because the bulk of our population is having to build off of current income streams and build a pot of assets that will take care of them as our life expectancies are longer. As you transition, as each decade goes by, you will then eventually have that pot of assets, and then the question becomes one, what happens to it if something happens to you prematurely, be it disability or death or how do you want to distribute that at your demise? And so it used to be that estate planning would spend a lot of time on the minimization of taxes, but today that's somewhat been lessened by changes in the tax laws, but what has increased is how do you make sure that those dollars in a family environment are used to the best desire of the deceased or the person that might be up in age. You know, how do you take care when you can't take care of yourself? So during your build-up in your retirement years, you deal with whatever investment choice you make. Again, ours would be to believe that the trust officer is as good as anyone. You're going to pay someone for doing it, any of those different categories I mentioned, so why not get that level of service? And then that trust officer is the only one of those three categories that can be the fiduciary upon death. So at your demise, estate planning takes over. My estate, if my wife and I don't spend it all, will go to three daughters and grandchildren down the road, and the guidelines for all that are laid out. So estate planning is spending time and effort and energy to make sure there's a smooth transition to the desires of the senior generation.
What do you like most about handling estate planning cases?
It's always the gratification of meeting clients' needs. Every client you deal with has their own goals and objectives. You start with that. You finish with that. You hope that you're helping them achieve that. There's almost never a case where you can't look at what has been done. The rules are so complex in both building assets and estates and how you hold monies and how you might spend monies and what you do with them, to where all the different type of retirement plans, blending all that together in the most tax efficient manner to benefit individuals and their heirs and charities, and to minimize the amount of dollars that are going to the government, that brings you great pleasure. And we're forever looking to make our clients happy, keep them healthy, wealthy, and wise. If we can put all those four things together, then that's the ultimate goal.
Absolutely. What are some of the most common mistakes you see clients making when planning their estate?
Well, it's postponement of addressing these issues we've just talked about. Most people will spend a lot more time selecting, you know, what TV shows they're going to watch this week than paying attention to these financial and family governance type of issues. They're not easy. They come with a wide range of difficulties, difficult decisions. You know, for example, when you a lot of people go to do their first will, if they have small children, you can decide, okay, husband and wife, let's take care of each other, then we'll take care of the children. One of the issues is, what if there's a common disaster? Who should be the guardian? Guardian of the money, you could actually hire a trust company, but guardian of the person who's going to take care of that, you know, those children or child, you know, those are very difficult things, and we see documents that don't get executed because of a resistance to it's just not easy to think through that process and then to convey that to someone and get their permission. But if you don't do it and something happens in the common disaster, then you're leaving it to the court. You know, you're leaving it to some judge to listen to different people argue for why they might be the better person. So, again, you just need to have people address it. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of advertisements for doing the depth of amount of work that needs to be done. You can't do it all in one sitting. It needs to be some attention paid to it multiple times throughout the year and reviewed, and people need to get with their advisors. No one advisor knows all the elements. Attorneys, CPAs, trust officers, and others are all beneficial.
I would agree with that. Obviously, you have, as we do, confidentiality and privacy policies to protect the identities of your clients. So without revealing any names, can you tell me about a hypothetical recent estate planning client? We'll call them Mr. and Mrs. Jones. And, you know, what was their situation, and how did you help them?
You know, we, again, do adhere to the highest level of attorney, CPA-type confidentiality, and don't even like to disguise that just on the chance that someone might be able to put different pieces of the puzzle together. But the help that we provide, if you look more holistically, I'd say that we are every year that goes by, we're going to help a handful of people really struggle with what's the best type of distribution plan for their heirs after they're gone. You know, should it be, two children split at 50-50 and not worry about anything after they're gone? Should it be a dynasty trust where you're taking care of minimizing taxes for up to as long as 360 years based on the state of Tennessee's rules or other, you know, each state has its own rules in terms of how long a document can run for. So when you get people to think through who should be the trustee, because you can use a corporate fiduciary as an Argent Trust, the company we're associated with, or any other large institution. You can use an individual, as your many local CPAs or attorneys are willing to be trustees, and you can look to them. But individuals get health issues, do pass away, end up sometimes running off to Vegas and gambling. So, you know, our preference is that people ought to think very carefully and use the corporate fiduciary where with deep enough pockets to where if something goes wrong, the heirs are protected. So, you know, we do that and with Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and we make those points. We work with their attorneys. We get copies of tax returns from CPAs. Being a CPA by background, we can look at and give our trusted second opinion as to, have you thought about X, Y, or Z? You know, does it make sense to, if you're going to fund for college education, let's make sure we're doing it in the smartest way possible, either for children or grandchildren. Clients that have done that we've helped in that broad estate planning, financial planning arena, end up with much lower cost in getting those goals achieved. Almost everyone has the goal of providing some level of education for the younger generations, and why not do that as effectively as you can? So, you know, there's no end to the array of families that we help. The more generations, we have families with three generations often and four in many cases, occasionally have five generations, and just using each of the players to, again, go back to how do we maximize what the families can do to meet their goals, to take care of the charities they care about, and, again, to minimize dollars that might be going to the government. All those are factors we put together.
Absolutely. Who is an ideal client for you?
Really, anyone with an estate or total net worth of typically in the $1 million range. There start to be issues. Anyone with, you know, $50,000, $200,000, $300,000 has certain issues, and that's worth a conversation. And we have those conversations, and we give people choices. A lot of people with those categories have found their way to doing their documents through many of the computer services that are out there, and it may be fine and appropriate and just to get some professional somewhere to glance at it. But, you know, as you get to the seven-figure realm, you're more likely to want to give a little more thought to a plan that would be one that would be other than just splitting assets. So as you get to the each state is a little bit different, and the rules have tended to change in recent years, but there are state taxes. Georgia's taxes are different from Tennessee's or different from New Jersey's or Connecticut, and you have to be savvy to, you know, where the senior generation is and where other members of the family are. And so, again, at the $1 million level, you can have a taxable estate certain states. In other states, you can have $5 million and it not be taxable. So, as you get closer to the $5 million, it becomes that's the level that a single person at the level of $5 million, $430,000, anything above that, there's absolutely a federal estate tax. And that brings in a whole other range of things that one can do to benefit clients and help them achieve their goals.
What is the first step you would want that client to take to start engaging with you?
You know, their own soul searching, their own, in today's environment, to, you know, Google the topic, to dig a little bit deeper and give some forethought. Most people Google most everything at this point in time, and so I think that's very easy and very appropriate. Most law firms have sites. There's all sorts of, just open and free information to get a little bit of a basis. And there, you know, go to the local bookstore. You can buy something inexpensive and begin to get a little background. But after you've done just a little to, you know, make sure that you're addressing some issues, which issues make sense to you, like guardian of your children usually would be a high priority. Are you going to leave my monies in trust for children or grandchildren, all those type of issues. The more you can think through those, then to get with a professional, and attorneys and CPAs are typically going to bill for their time on an hourly basis. Many investment professionals will not charge for initial meetings, but again, they may not have the additional credentials, and they will likely want to have a CPA or an attorney ultimately in part of that planning team. So every case is different, but those are among the choices of people have to typically hear about. Aunt Jane has just been diagnosed with a cancer in a short time frame, and everybody's concerned, so suddenly the family wants to know. Others, it's, you know, the dad dies and was in good health, and now nobody knows what to do or where to go. And so, you know, there can be those events that are unfortunate, but the better approach is to get ahead of the curve. You can do a lot of things that make it so much easier down the road. The simplest explanation is many people have numerous accounts here, there, and everywhere. They might have 20 different IRA accounts, a different $2,000 account every year or whatever. And to, consolidate that and to have a better handle on what one has, that's a good place. Take inventory of what one has. Once you've made your way through the financial success ladder of paying off debt and beginning to build assets and making some of these type of investments for the future, at some point you'd want to pull that together, take inventory, and talk to someone that can help.
And for folks listening to this or reading this who want to hear more from Howard Safer, how do you want them to get in touch with you?
Well, we can be reached at the website argenttrust.com. That's argenttrust.com. Or my email, happy to take personal emails to hsafer, at argenttrust.com.
Okay. We have been here talking with Howard Safer of Argent Trust. Howard, thank you so much for the interview. It was fascinating. I am sure our folks got a lot out of it. I know I did. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to do this.
And thank you. I hope we can help some folks. Thank you.